Our scripture today, which we'll be reading together, is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 24 to 37. Before I get into this, though, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for your light and for your love, for revealing to us who you are through your word. And as we read your word this day, we ask that your light continues to shine, to illuminate our hearts and minds, that we might see you and draw closer to you. We also ask for your mercy upon the expounding of the word, that it might be used by you, for you, that your name may be praised this day. We thank you for your presence and your activity in this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 to 37. Hear now God's word. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter, and he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by somewhere to Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee. Went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his hands into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There we go. An old saying that I heard growing up, "Clothes only counts for horseshoes." Someone else shared with me that during his time of growing up in the Cold War, that the three things were "clothes only counts for horseshoes," hand grenades, and nuclear warheads. I don't know, but "clothes only counts." This is a Pittsburgh plunge. If you've ever been. One of those rides where you don't have to ride it to enjoy it if you don't want to. But anyway, we'll get to this in a moment, this part in a moment. Okay, so our scripture today, our first part about the Syro-Phoenician woman, might be a bit jarring. This is a kind of a jarring scripture for a lot of people. When we picture Jesus, as this very kind, very loving, very open, arms held wide for everyone, even those who everyone else pushes away. And the Syro-Phoenician woman comes to Jesus in this moment, and her daughter has a demon and begs that Jesus removes the demon from her daughter and heals her. And Jesus says instead, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." This does not sound like, at first, the kind, loving, all-encompassing Jesus that we've come to know and love. Sounds very challenging to this woman. And yet, her response, she was not deterred. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat children's crumbs." This I picture, you know, like a boom, mic drop, you know, kind of moment. And Jesus says, you know, "Well done. Good job." So to understand this, there may be some very serious cultural implications that I don't quite know, but there is a very strong theological implication that I'd like us to know as we read this scripture, at least to have in the back of our mind. And that's to picture the Bible as kind of a focal timeline. And not a timeline that goes like this, but a timeline instead that looks like a greater than, less than sign. The two signs that are placed point to point. So it looks like this and then this. And the thing is that when you start in Genesis, the focal point of that story starts very wide open. It's focused on all of creation. God creates everything, the heavens and the earth, the animals, the people, all the people. And so it's very, very wide, the focal point. And then as the Bible goes on, the focal point starts to narrow a little bit. We're talking about all the creation and through Adam and Eve, and then it goes through Cain and Abel and Seth, and then it's got this huge big timeline of people, you know, so-and-so begets so-and-so, begets so-and-so, you know, all the way. And then we're talking about all the people during times of Noah. And then it starts to narrow a bit more, and then we talk about Abraham. But when we talk about Abraham, the story then moves to the people, Israel. And so we get very narrow when it talks about Israel. And so much of the Bible is talking about Israel, the people following God, God loving them, God punishing them, God forgiving them, what the people are supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing. And then the narrative in the Bible narrows then to a single point. Anyone ever watch Jeremiah Johnson? Any Jeremiah Johnson fans? I don't know. There's two different questions. I just assume if you've watched Jeremiah Johnson, you're a Jeremiah Johnson fan. It is just a fantastic movie. Anyone ever notice the way that story is told? Jeremiah Johnson, he first enters the city, and then he moves up to the mountains. And who's the first person Jeremiah Johnson meets in the mountains? Who? Who's that? Is that the actor? Okay, who's the character? The first person he meets in the mountain is Native American. That's the first person. He's fishing, right? Or trying to, and then the Native American sitting on the horse and, you know, watching him and kind of laughing at the poor guy. And then the next person he meets is the grizzly bear guy. And then the next person he meets is the crazy woman. And then the guy with the no hair, bald, and then so on. Okay, so after you get past the first act, you get to the second act, where everything just goes really bad. And then they tell the story in reverse. He meets the last person he met, he meets first, and then the last person he meets in the end is the Indian, the Native American. And so it's told in this beautiful framework. The Bible does a similar framework in that we start with this huge focus on creation and on everything, moving down to Israel, and then finally a focal point on Jesus. And in the gospel messages, to talk about all what Jesus does, who Jesus is, what miracle Jesus performs, and then after that, it talks about Jesus' mission. And Jesus' mission is to bring the truth and love of God to Israel. Jesus' focal point is Israel first. Not only, but first. And then through Israel, Christ affects the Gentiles. And then through the Gentiles, the entire world opens back up again. And then so Jesus' mission here on earth, though it is for all people, it's for Israel first. And Jesus tells the Syrophoenician woman this very truth. I came for Israel, not for the Gentiles. But the thing is that then the Syrophoenician woman, Mark, uses her as a way to teach us, yes, that's true. But the beautiful thing about the Word of God, that it can't be contained to one people. And she recognizes this. The Syrophoenician woman recognizes, yes, okay, you're here for Israel, but whether you know it or not, and of course Jesus knew it, we, the Gentiles, are also benefiting from your teaching. We, the Gentiles, are also experiencing your love. We, the Gentiles, your blessing is so big that it just spills over the edges and affects us all. She, as an outsider, recognized this. That Jesus, though he may be at first for the Israelites, could never only be for the Israelites. And her, as an outsider, sees that it's not just for them, but for all of us. And she was lifted up because of it. This second story about the man, the beggar, who was deaf and mute, is also another example of the same truth that we see back with the Syrophoenician woman. This man had couldn't hear, couldn't speak. Jesus took him in private, healed him, told him not to say anything. But again, the theme that falls very clearly in this scripture and in the whole Bible is that the love and word of God cannot be contained. As much as Jesus tried to contain the word of God, it just spread. The love of God goes from one person to another person. We've talked about the ripple effect time and time again. About how 2,000 years ago we are benefiting from the love of God today. Jesus loved the world through his life, death, and resurrection. And we sit here in the pews because of that love that's 2,000 years old and so much older. Now, the ripple effect that we see, that's the one we talk about. But the beautiful thing is that we see in this scripture is that there's a ripple effect we don't see. That we don't know whose life we affect, whose life the love of God touches by the things that we do. We don't know how that person reacts when, out of God's love, we invite someone to come in front of us in the grocery line at the store. We don't know how the love of God is spread through that person that we say a kind word to when everyone else is saying a mean word to. We don't know the way that the love of the Lord spreads when we're witnessing to the love of Jesus to one person and there's other people watching. Beautiful thing about this scripture is that it reminds us that no matter how hard we try, God's love cannot be contained. And that the truth is that we shouldn't try. That the love of God will touch whom the love of God will touch. And that all we're asked to do, all we're asked to do in this world is to love. And God will take care of who knows it, who receives it, who recognizes it. Sure, we try to love a particular person, and sometimes it gets through and sometimes it doesn't. It's not on us. We're just asked to love. It may be that person that we try to love with our whole life. Maybe they get it, maybe they don't, but maybe the person who is with them seeing this, who we never even focused on or thought about, also sees God's love and also is touched. Because the love of God cannot contain, cannot be contained. It gets close. And close only counts for horseshoes, hand grenades, nuclear weapons apparently, but most definitely Christ's love. You never know who you touch. Love generously. Love big. And lives will be affected that we have never even thought of. And we can thank God for that. share with you this final benediction. Those who drink the water that I will give, says Jesus, them will never be thirsty ever again. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us. May we share it with others. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.